Darby and Friends, 1490 WGCH, 105.5 FM, and WGCH.com, anywhere. Today we have our dear friend David Rabin, who is the CEO of Greenwich United Way, with us. And you just, I have to say, I'm honored to be able to talk to you. You have not let any grass grow under the feet of Greenwich United Way in terms of continuing to honor the mission and keep helping people. So welcome, David.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back, and thank you for the kind words. We have a great board and a great team that does all the work here, and, you know, we have certainly, as you said, been busy. No grass is allowed to grow here in the office, even though there's only a couple of people in here at a time. We're so busy with all the restrictions that we can have X number of people in the office. But anyway, we certainly have been busy. We pivoted like everybody else had to remain true to our mission, and that's what we've done for sure.
Well, that's wonderful. In your mission, would you say there's a particular focus on one group more than another, or how would you describe that?
No, we cover the broad swath of human services needs. And, you know, from food insecurity to domestic violence to distance learning to education to PPE supply now. You know, PPE is a big thing, as you know. We cover the gamut of needs in this town, and that's what I think, you know, makes us unique. I mean, we're going to take a long, hard look at any application, grant application, and we're going to vet it properly and determine our grants committee and board if this is a valid grant to give out, and you know, based on the application and the information that we request back, and you supply the information back that shows how the money is being spent and the impact it's having in a results-based accountability way, and we go from there. I mean, it's we're certainly not rocket science. We know that. We're not splitting atoms here, right, Darby? but we
sure
are very careful with our donor dollars and want to make sure they have the greatest impact.
Yeah, that's really what it's about. So do you find now that children are heading back to school, did Greenwich schools start today?
Greenwich schools are starting shortly, yes.
So that will sort of shift around some of that food insecurity, right? Because during the summer they're not in school, so they're not getting the breakfast and the lunch and the snack.
Yeah, we've done a lot for food insecurity. Now, it's a hybrid model that the Greenwich Public Schools, I believe I read, is utilizing. So that means some are still at home. Some have opted to stay home and do distance learning. And you had the choice as a parent, I believe, from what I remember reading. So you might want to, you know, if you're anyone listening, might want to double-check that. But I think you had and my children are long out of the Greenwich Public Schools, so and, you know, I really have a lot of empathy for the parents who have children in schools right now, given the extra added, you know, pressure of needing to either have them go to school or in this environment or stay at home or do both, because, as I said, it's a hybrid model that Greenwich Public Schools is utilizing right now. And if I do have to send them in, I have to, or if I do stay home, I mean, who watches them? I have to go to work. I mean, it's such a juggling act, and I do not envy any of these parents. I give them so much credit. You know, the education of our children is so important. And what I'm not afraid of, well, I am afraid of it. I know what's happening because of what we read. You know, the achievement gap is going to get even wider.
Right, exactly.
And it's unfortunate. And that really puts a focus on our Early Childhood Achievement Gap Solutions Program, the importance of it, and how we need to prepare these kids for school every way we can, even more so now. And, you know, that is something, you know, I'm passionate about,
right,
making sure these kids are prepped for school from birth, and that's what our program does. And that sets them up for success later on. And now more than ever, we need to keep this program going. And if anyone has any questions about it, I'm happy to answer them. But we need to keep the program going. We need to expand the program to include more children before they get to kindergarten, so we can have kids who are ready for kindergarten, who are ready for success, and continue that success all the way through school, because the data shows that that's how it works. Yeah. And that's what this program does. So I've been talking too long already, Darby. You probably want to go to a break.
Just a couple of questions. How many children start, you said it starts with a program of from birth, teaching young mothers how to be better at the support of educating their children right from birth.
In our program?
Yes. How many children do you
have? Right now in the GPAT, Greenwich Parents as Teachers program, we have about 40 children in that program. I would love to expand that. That would take funding.
Yes. And what?
So if we can get a bigger cohort there of the at-risk children who are entering kindergarten now at a disadvantage, then we would love to blow that program up and make it 80 or 120. But we have to hire more staff to make that happen, because by regulation, the guidelines of PAT, Parents as Teachers, which is a 35-year-old proven data-driven program, you can only handle 20 per parent educator. So we have two right now.
So each educator would only have 20 clients?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the maximum workload that they can have.
Which is hard in a town like Greenwich, because people are, it seems like, always moving and doing things. You know, they're here part of the time, they're gone part of the time. You know, how do you get that commitment?
Well, the population we serve, when you say here part of the time, not here, what is that?
For the parent educator, the person to make the commitment to have 20 clients.
That is a staff, hired staff person. That's their job.
Oh, so, it's a hired staff person. I thought
you
did this with volunteers. I'm sorry, I missed.
Oh, no, these are not volunteers.
Oh.
Yeah, these are trained parents, PAT trained parent educators. Yeah,
wow.
These are not volunteers. No.
Wow. Oh, that's very significant. No wonder you need a lot of funding.
Yeah,
I just assumed it was like, I think it's in Spirica, they have a lot of literacy volunteers, so I was thinking in terms of that.
No, it's not like our Reading Champions program, which has 130 Reading Champion tutor volunteers who are trained by us in the program. This is a data-driven national program that has, stringent criteria to meet, or else you don't become a PAT affiliate like we are. So, no, it's.
Well, that's quite impressive.
Well, it is. That's why we chose the program.
Right.
It's no joke, as the saying goes. It is no joke.
Well, it's all. I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm getting this visual of a big, big circle. If you can help improve a child's early beginning, as you said, has been proven with data, so that they're successful at their first attempt at school, starting in kindergarten and going all the way through with all the support and tutoring that, Reading Champs and the math program that's offered and all the other things, the child will graduate from high school with a sense of self-esteem. And because so much of the population that you serve, I presume, are the black and brown community of Greenwich, that if the young people have more self-esteem, there's going to be less of a sense of racial tensions, because they'll be better equipped to operate in the workforce.
Well, Darby, there's 30, 35 years of data on this, and one of the reasons we picked the program, PAT, Parents as Teachers, that is for that data. It's proven to reduce unemployment, to reduce health issues like obesity and heart disease in older adults if you go through this program. It improves life outcomes for not just the children in the program, but the parents in the program, because they're the ones being trained.
Sure. Sure.
To be the best trainer they can be. It's like a train-the-trainer program. These
right.
parent educators go in and train the trainer. And the trainer, in this case, is the parent. And when you improve all those things, and there's so many more that much more than our 20-some minutes, whatever it is, can handle right now, when you put all those things together, you have an improved, you know, life for everybody. You know, the fact that these folks will remain out of prison is proven.
Yes.
You know, so the prison population drops. I mean, all this data is and stuff we're making up. It's all, if you go to PAT, you know, Google PAT and its outcomes, and it's all proven data. The Ziegler study proves it. When you combine that with our preschool instructional coach, who we've inserted into the preschool classrooms, which is right before you get to kindergarten, you'll see the results of the Ziegler study and how it's helped. This program,
so
when you put these two prongs together.
You have full cooperation with the Board of Education, the superintendent, and the teachers of the types of things you're doing?
Oh, we meet, yeah, that's one of our partners, the Greenwich Public Schools, a major partner, and this is GPS. And we meet regularly with Toni Jones. She's been a great partner.
That's wonderful. What other collaborations are working, do you feel, especially well right now during this COVID period?
One that pops immediately into my mind is the weekly phone call we have with all the CEOs and many stakeholders in town. It was weekly. Now it's monthly, but starting in March, we held a weekly CEO call and stakeholders because of the COVID crisis. And we made so many connections. You know, with 30 people on the call, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? How can we help as the Greenwich United Way? And then, you know, like this, in fact, this past Friday, an organization said, hey, you know, remember, there's 30, 35, 40 people on the call. Hey, if anyone know of anyone who has 40 used laptops? Because our program needs it because of distance learning. And someone else jumped in and said, yeah, we know somebody who can get those for you. So without that phone call, that's just one of dozens of connections that were made just like that.
Wow.
I think that answers your question, I think. And I won't go into many more of them, the examples, but we've got dozens of examples. And I personally am very proud of that phone call. It's a way to find out how the Greenwich United Way can help. It's a way to find out how we can help each other.
Fantastic. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk more with David Rabin, CEO of Greenwich United Way. And I know you've got some great events that are just around the corner, so we want to hear all about those. But right now, you're listening to Darby and Friends, 1490 WGCH, 105.5 FM, and WGCH.com anywhere. Welcome back to Darby and Friends, 1490 WGCH and 105.5 FM and WGCH.com anywhere. David Rabin, who is the CEO of Greenwich United Way, is with me this afternoon. We were talking about some of the incredible outreaches that have been made in the past, but most specifically recently with COVID and how they're managing continuing to help the citizens of Greenwich. And now I want to hear about some of the upcoming events, David.
Well, we do have some fun things coming up, and we are looking so forward to them. First of all, our Soul Sisters event, which is our 15th, I believe, annual event. You know, our Soul Sisters is the women's initiative of the Greenwich United Way, and their motto is women stepping up to help others step forward. And it's a great motto, and that's exactly what they do. That was originally scheduled for April. We know what happened there. So now we're going virtual. And if you're a fan of, even if you're not a fan of Sex and the City, the creators, Candace Bushnell, is going to be virtually presented to you on September 22nd. And all that information is on our website. There are packages available You can pick up a lunch at Greenwich Country Club. You can pick up your book from your Is There Still Sex in the City is her latest book. You can pick all that up at Greenwich Country Club. Go home, watch the virtual presentation. I think it starts around 12:30, but all those details are on the website. It's going to be a lot of fun, a little different format for us. And then our golf outing at Greenwich Country Club on October 5th. And it's the revamped Greenwich Country Club, by the way. If you haven't played there in the last year or two, partially one reason is because it was closed for renovations, and the renovations are just fantastic. So if you want to try the new Greenwich Country Club, that's October 5th. Again, I'll give you the website. It's GreenwichUnitedWay.org to see the packages available there. Hope you can grab a foursome for that. And then on October 16th, our virtual Brouhaha Comedy Night. If you'd like a food truck to come to your house for 20 people or so, you can have a gathering at your house, put it on the big screen, and have a laugh a minute at our comedy night. And, again, packages available for all these events at GreenwichUnitedWay.org. And it's important to know, Darby, that we, like everybody else, had to postpone our events, and that means postpone revenue. But the Greenwich United Way still fulfilled our grant commitments. So it's really important that these events get supported more than ever so we can continue to do what we do, which is find it and fund it and fix it as it relates to human services needs in the town of Greenwich, as they, meaning they, those human services needs, continue to rise because of the crisis we're in. So you've got an opportunity here to have great fun, have a great event, have some social distancing going on at your home with masks and everything, or just your family, participate in these events, and still help the Greenwich United Way, because as I said, we still fulfilled our grant commitments, and it's more important now than ever to support us, to help us support the town of Greenwich.
Yes. Are you finding, when do you start your annual campaign? Doesn't that come up?
You have an excellent memory. Yes, it is. It comes up September 16th at Town Hall. That's next week. We're about to start blasting that out. That'll be at Town Hall, either probably on the front steps. I'm not really sure. At 11 o'clock in the morning, Fred Camillo is going to help us kick that off. Our first selectman, as the first selectman traditionally always helps us kick that off. And, you know, that's the time we kick off our, well, you said, an annual campaign, and that's the grant money. That's the money we raise to make the grants we make. So, you know, the support now is, you know, more important now than ever. I'm going to be saying that a lot, right, now more than ever, for all the reasons we all know. And for those of us who can consider ourselves pretty lucky and fortunate, and I think, you know, we're among them on this, you know, you and I certainly, important to help those that are not as fortunate as we are.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. We are, just living in Greenwich, we're blessed, and I think when one receives a blessing, you want to know that you're able to pass it on and help someone who needs
help.
Yeah,
my wife used to tell me something years ago, and I never forgot it, and she still says it every once in a while. It's only what you give away that enriches you from day to day.
Oh, I like that.
And it's a good quote.
That is a good quote. Yes. And I think that the Greenwich United Way has really been a model for being aware of how fortunate we are to live here in this wonderful, wonderful town, and not pretend that everything's okay for everybody, and try and help those that are struggling.
Yeah, and It was due this month originally. Our 2020 needs assessment, which is the statistical portrait of the human services needs of the town of Greenwich, and will be full of other information as well. We're now having, because of the delay with COVID, we're going to have it ready in December or January, and that, you know, will raise more awareness as to what's, you know, because the last one was 4 years ago, and we know a lot has happened in 4 years, hasn't it?
Do you think you'll have any codicils to it in terms of how some of the numbers have possibly changed since late March, early April due to COVID?
Yes, there will be some data in there, even though it's being, you know, a lot of it, information was gathered prior to COVID. Some
right.
of it will have been gathered post-COVID. So we will have some information regarding that as well. But we're just so excited about it because it's going to be so robust and so dynamic and so interactive and all the things that, that something like this needs to be. You can click on, it'll be online. You know, you're going to get a print version if you want. We will print some versions, but you know how as soon as you print something, it's out of date the second
sure.
the ink dries, right? But this will be something that will be dynamic and interactive and updated online regularly, and you can click on certain any part of town and see what's going on, you know, what the needs are in that town, what's available in that part of town. It's really going to be quite dynamic.
So
I can't wait to have it.
When you say dynamic, we won't have to wait another 4 years till an assessment's done?
I don't think so. I think we're going to be constantly updating it, so
wow.
it will be... It's going
oh,
to be,
David, you are so 21st century. I am impressed.
Well, we have partnered with a research university who's been, you know, who we had to pay. I mean, it didn't come for free, and it was a hefty price tag, but I felt it was worth it for the organization to have something like this that, that really tells the story in real time.
Yes, I would agree with you, because if I were given a document that was 4 years old, I would be less likely to feel that it was giving me the true story. It was the true
yeah.
story 4 years ago, but where are
mm-hmm.
we today?
Right,
well,
and everybody uses it.
Absolutely.
And by everybody, I mean, you know, you'll be reading it. Everyone who writes a grant in this town will read it. The town will definitely read it and look at it and use it. And that's why it's important that it's as up-to-date as it possibly can be and updated as much as possible on a constant basis.
You've expanded the informational reach and availability of the true story going on in Greenwich for anyone who goes to the website.
Yes, I think
yes.
that knowledge is power.
Yes.
And if you have the right knowledge, you can use that power for the right thing, and in this case, that knowledge will be used to help the most vulnerable that, that live here and work here and raise their families here. And, you know, we talked about the ALIS population. We'll have some new data on that as well very shortly. And, you know, it's, I mean, I can't imagine that a flat tire... Me driving home today getting a flat tire is going to not allow me to buy food for the rest of the month. I just can't picture
right.
that.
Right, right.
So I have no comprehension of what that means. But there's 29% of the population in this town, almost a third, who live it every day.
Yes.
And we have a special film that's going to roll during our Soul Sisters luncheon called A Life in the Day.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I reversed that. A Day in the Life.
Right, like Day
it's
in the
It's a Day
life
in the Life
America.
Of an ALIS family. It's like 3-4 minutes long, I think. And it's pretty compelling. And I hope everyone listening can get onto the Soul Sisters broadcast, I guess we'll call it, for want of a better term, this year, and just see that Day in the Life and understand a little better what it's like to know what I just said.
Wow, yeah. I heard, now, not that this has anything specifically to do with United Way, but I heard that Neighbor to Neighbor is not giving clothing, arranging for donations of clothing anymore because of COVID, so it's strictly food. But there again, that becomes a burden. Kids are going back to school, they don't have a winter coat, they don't have this, they don't have that. They can't afford food. They definitely aren't going to be able to afford shoes, clothes, everything necessary.
Well, Margaret Goldberg, the executive director over there, does a tremendous job.
She's
and
we've great,
become
yeah.
good friends since she's taken over that role there right probably a couple of months before COVID, I think.
Yes.
And she's filled some big shoes from the previous person, and she's done it quite admirably. And she should be commended for what she's doing and the way she's been helping over there, the food insecurity, because that's that is the biggest grant totals that we've given in any particular category, certainly food insecurity during COVID.
I mean, everyone is doing their, I think the decision she made was very smart because, God forbid, if some clothing, someone's had COVID and then you pass it on to a family, I mean, that would just be horrific.
But,
there's my music, David. And
I hear
just
it.
Want to say thank you for all that you do for Greenwich, and the Greenwich United Way serves those less served, and we appreciate you and your whole team.
Thank you, Darby. Nice chatting with you.
All right. Take care. You've been listening to Darby and Friends, 1490 WGCH, and 105.5 FM, as well as WGCH.com.